What? Luke, honestly, is this some kind of father-son thing now? The age difference between us, that you're playing Cats in the Cradle just because I teased you for saying it was your half birthday? Is that really what this is about?
I don't know. I mean, you take it however you'd like to take it.
I'm, when I'm down there to visit later this week, we're just going to go out and have a catch. You know, we're just going to continue to build these bonds between us, if you don't mind.
I cannot wait. I can't wait.
Okay. Good. It's Monday morning. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are going to be joined in a moment here by Representative Christina Shelton of the Green Bay area. But I'm going to offer up my apologies in advance. And if you'll forgive a personal aside before I introduce the assembly representative, I'm doing well now. I am. My wife and I are doing well. She grew up on a dairy farm. Now she's a physician. I'm doing fine with my two different roles here as an editor and a radio talk show host. Both of us grew up in families that were distinctly not well-to-do. I stood in line with my mom when she'd have to go wait for food stamps. I had a very sickly little brother who ultimately died at the age of 9, and we had to go through all the hoops for charity care there. So I know we like to use the word triggered, you know, like in a sarcastic way, like, you know, somebody's triggered by this. I am truly triggered by the fact that any politician, much less a state legislator in Wisconsin, is much more comfortable if children can essentially be shamed if they need or have to ask for assistance to pay for lunch or breakfast in school. Thankfully, we have somebody like Assembly Rep Christina Shelton working on behalf of the kids, the parents, even the educators, who want to make sure that all children are well fed and are on that level playing field. And I'm sorry, one more personal thing. If all kids having a level playing field in terms of eating lunch, if that level playing field smacks of socialism to you, you need to go rethink your definition of that and maybe look for the word decency instead. Representative Shelton, my great apologies for the rant preceding all this. Thank you for being here. How are you?
Thanks for having me today, Pat. And no apologies needed. I feel equally frustrated. So I'm excited to be able to talk to you and your listeners about this issue today.
This stems from an open letter that you were looking to have published. And I think one of the local papers, what, either declined or hasn't gotten back to you yet on this. And so you shared it elsewhere, and we are certainly going to share it at upnorthnewswi.com. But I thought it warranted a conversation as well. And it opens with three different Facebook comments from Republican Senator Eric Wimberger. And I'm going to read those off first, and then we're going to get into your motivation to writing the open letter. And Senator Wimberger writes, "In the olden days, those on social services were called to the office to pick up their lunch tickets at my school. Stigma claims had some merit." I'm going to say that again. "Stigma claims had some merit. Thanks, Eric. But every kid who needs food gets fed nowadays, and the systems are set up to adequately mask the funding source. In my opinion, there is no justification for universal free food for kids, since those who need it," in all capital letters, "get it." And he goes on and on to talk about the proposed concept of, quote unquote, free meals for all. Can someone explain to me why we should do that? And boy, Representative Shelton, am I glad you took the bait. Can you explain to us why we should have free meals for all?
Well, I mean, look, Senator Wimberger is fundamentally wrong here on when he makes the statement that those who need it get it. And we know that that is just untrue. I am a teacher by trade. I have a health education background. I'm a mom of two kids that participate and eat school meals and sometimes pack, but are public school kids. And I've actually been working on this issue nationally with school districts from around the country, looking at best practices policy at both the district level and the state and federal level around school meals. And he is just wrong around this idea that the system is working. The system is not working the way that it is intended to. We know that kids who qualify for free and reduced meals do fall through the cracks. We know that there are kids who do not qualify who are food insecure or hungry. But beyond that, we know that universal school meal programs have incredible benefits for all kids. And that means all means all. So there are benefits that are academic, benefits that are economic, benefits that are cultural and benefits that are administrative through the food meal system. So I wanted to be able to take Senator Wimberger to school, if you will, as a teacher and help him better understand why this issue is so critical and why he maybe needs to have a little bit more empathy for the communities that he says that he serves.
Well, and that's a great point, the empathy about a community, because there is still this notion of, again, either shaming or blaming the poors, a term that I'm borrowing from our friend Scott Ross, because it just seems that that's the level of disdain that is shared with people who, especially children, through who no fault of their own, find themselves in not the most comfortable of circumstances. And as a result, we've had all of these ideas and programs over the years that try to level things out, at least for the children, so they have opportunities to learn. And that was enhanced, if I'm not mistaken, during the pandemic by making school meals more affordable when so many families were struggling with temporary to permanent job loss during the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been on the show talking about this issue. This is the issue for me. This is the, again, something that I know well and something that I'm passionate about. So if you will remember back in March of 2020, when the pandemic hit, the USDA did something that it had never done before. And it basically made school meals free for all, breakfast and lunch. There were no income requirements. There were no income eligibility checks. Food service directors didn't have to collect those tedious forms and check. And it also gave flexibility through the delivery model. So we were able to do car lines and just drop meals right into people's cars or their trunks. And we were able to provide hundreds of thousands of meals. I was one of those people volunteering back at the beginning of the pandemic. I was on the Green Bay School Board at Franklin Middle School for hours in the cold that spring, that Wisconsin spring. And people would come up and say, I need 20 meals. I need to give meals to everyone in my apartment complex. Or I'm coming by to get meals because this is the one thing I'm going to do today that gets me out of the house. And we're taking a little trip through the community or whatever it was, but it was a community building experience. And we had that program up until June. That program went through June. It was free meals for all, breakfast and lunch, and that was extended by the federal government. But that program ended in June. And so the Healthy School Meals for All bill takes action at the state level. It is modeled after the California bill that just passed and was signed into law a few weeks ago that maximizes free and reduced reimbursements through the federal government, but then it brings state funding and through GPR dollars to cover kids that don't qualify for free and reduced. But I want to point out something here that's really important. This is not just an investment, I'm doing air quotes for those of you who can't see me, in kids and meals. This is an investment in local farmers and growers. This is an investment in farm to school. This is an economic investment in communities. And this is an investment in working families. We know that working families, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles are working 2-3 jobs. Working families have been sacrificing for years. They've been doing what we've asked them to do, work hard. This takes something off of working families. It allows them to send their kids to school knowing that they're going to be fed every day the same meal that everybody else. And oh, by the way, Pat, school meals tend to be healthier. They are healthier than the average home packed lunch. So the benefits are extreme and wide reaching.
And they just make sense from a human decency point of view. We're requiring kids to go to school. Let's make sure they're well fed. And let's get over the notion that there's some kind of, you know, one size fits all description of a child or a family that's in need. You mentioned you're volunteering. I've done the same with a food pantry through our church up in, that we attend up in Barron County, where, again, once a month, the line of cars runs out the parking lot and down the street. And you look in those cars as you're, you know, loading in donated groceries by and large. And these are folks who, I guess maybe some people think every one of the cars is a jalopy, and it certainly is not, because poverty itself is the kind of circumstance that can, no pun intended, turn on a dime when suddenly a job is lost, right, or a child gets ill, or, you know, a divorce, some other circumstance that comes up. And so this broad brush painting of, you know, low-income families is especially disheartening when they are not, they were not seeking out this problem. I mean, even if their parents engaged in some kind of bad behavior, why wouldn't you want the kids to have a chance to, you know, follow a different path?
Yeah, absolutely. And this ends, you know, school lunch shaming. It ends school meal debt. We have varying policies around the state of Wisconsin around how districts manage those processes. And here in the Green Bay Area Public School District, we do not go after families or kids or give different meals when kids have debt in their school lunch account.
Oh, but they do elsewhere. And isn't that,
they do elsewhere. That's absolutely right.
Is there anything more maddening than hearing that, you know, some kid was denied lunch or they give kids, you know, a cheap bologna sandwich. And I just want to go to those places and ask, where is your humanity?
Well, absolutely. And look, the other part of this too is it's the financial impact of it. So the Green Bay District absorbs those costs into their budget, but that could be for some districts, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are up here, but perhaps tens or, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so this is also an investment in reimagining and revolutionizing school meals. You know, when you think about when more kids participate in eating school breakfast and school lunch, those reimbursement rates bring in additional money into the school nutrition programs, and it lowers the cost of the production per meal. So that allows districts to have more funding to, for example, pay their workers more. Food service workers tend to be the lowest paid in school districts. If parents are interested in things like scratch cooking, healthier ingredients, upgrading their kitchen so that they can do more on-site cooking in schools, that takes additional revenue. So when I talk about this, I also speak to the parents who say, well, what about the quality of meals, right? What about farm to school? I want to do more locally sourced ingredients and fresh ingredients. And I say, yep, this is the most important step for us to be able to get to that broader picture. And the fact that my senator, Senator Eric Wimberger, who represents the 90th, the city of Green Bay, but also, by the way, you know, districts like, you know, up in Marinette and Peshtigo, rural America or rural Wisconsin, those rural schools also are begging us to take action on this bill because they need the revenue and because they want to do right by their kids.
Yeah, because they have a higher rate of expense, for example, for transportation costs. The school buses have to travel more and such. And one other quick note, you mentioned earlier about this was additional aid that came from the pandemic and then it came to an end. It didn't have to come to an end. Just to be clear, Republicans in Congress stopped that.
Absolutely. And the Healthy School Meals Coalition has been meeting with our state federal delegation. We are pushing all action on every level. But yeah, they failed to take action. So we're pushing at the state level.
State Representative Christina Shelton is joining us. We will take a break and continue the discussion after this. You're up north. We're gonna have a good time there.